Okay, so let's share for a few minutes a little bit of something I was thinking about, the void of the month a little bit. So, you know, there's a klal from Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation, that every one of the 12 months corresponds to one of the 12 tribes, one of the 12 shvatim. So if we therefore want to understand what is the inyan of the month of El, it's the void of El, so let's find the shevet that it's connected to and learn a little bit about that shevet. So the month of Elul is connected to one of the forgotten Shvatim, you know, Shevet God. Okay, so let's learn a little bit about Shevet God, and maybe that'll tell us what the Avoid of Elul is. So, what does the word God mean, right? So we know that God was born, he was actually the first tribe to be born from Zilpah, the maidservant of Leah. So it says in Pasuk that when God was born, it says, Bog God. Ah, God has arrived. Let's take my God. And she called him God. What does the word God mean? So it's interesting. Rashi, in that parashas Vayetze, on that word Bog God, and also later on in parashas Vayichi, when Yaakov gives a bracha to God, and in parashas Vizosa bracha, when Moshe gives a bracha to God, Rashi throws in a number of interpretations what the word God means. So let's I'll run through some of them, and then we'll try to sort of find, you know, what's the anchor. So Rashi says a few things. First of all, Rashi says the word God means mazel. And he says, Bog God means Bog mazel tov. So the word God means mazel tov, means to have a good mazel. That's the one definition of the word God. Rashi says the word God also comes from the word cutting. God means to cut. And the reason why he's called God is because he was born with a bris milah. So in other words, he's called God because it was already cut. The Milo, the Arlo was already cut off. That's the word God. Okay. Another interpretation of the word God comes from the word Gedud. Gedud means like an overflowing, ever-increasing mass of tents and houses. Like a community that's sort of like growing and expanding. An expanding community is the word God as well. So these are all aspects of the word God. Now another thing, that's what the word God means. So again, it means mazel tov, it means good mazel, it means it's the word cutting, in other words that he was born with a bris milah, it means expanding territory. That's why even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gives a bracha to the Shevet God, his opening line is Baruch Marchiv God, blessed be Hashem, who expands the territory of God. Okay, that's the word God means. Now another interesting, that's tidbit number one about Shevet God, what the word means. Another aspect of God, I'm trying to figure out what El is that God, according to Chazal, were very powerful soldiers. These were the strongest, most courageous, most talented soldiers of the Jewish people, the Shevet God. And in fact, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he blesses God, again, he says, Baruch Marachiv God, blessed be Hashem who expands the territory of God. Taraf Zeroya Afkod Kod, that they're able to cut down their enemy head and arm, meaning in other words they were such powerful warriors that with one swoop of the one motion of the sword they could literally slice the enemy in half, that the head and the arm of the enemy is gone. Now Chazal says it's interesting when you think about that, head and arm is tefillin, right? So you see that God is connected with this inyan of connecting the tefillin shel Reish with the tefillin shel Yad. And in fact, we find this in warfare. The Mishnah says in Saita that it's in our parasha, in fact, that the only ones that were allowed to fight the battle were ones that people that were not afraid of anything. What should they be afraid of? So the Gemara Mishnah says in Saita that any Jew that was afraid of any aver that they have would not be allowed in the army. They have to be super confident in their ruchnis. And says the Gemara, what's an example of an avera that should cause a soldier to be afraid? Where it says, Hasach bein tefillin shel Rosh and tefillin shel Yad. Someone who speaks between putting on the shel Yad and the shel Rosh. So you see that when it comes to battle, what's necessary is to connect the tefillin shel Yad and tefillin shel Rosh. And God, who are the greatest warriors, are described as cutting down the enemy head and hand. In other words, that they have the strong connection between tefillin shel Yad and tefillin shel Rosh. Now the truth is, this connection that we have between God and this idea of tefillin shel Yad and tefillin shel Rosh being connected is also found in the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah, again, the same book that tells us Elul is the Shevet God, also says that every month is connected to a particular letter of the alphabet and a particular sort of human experience element. And the Sefer Yetzirah says, what's the month of Elul? The Sefer Yetzirah says the month of Elul is Shevet God, the letter Yud, and the left arm. Now, the letter Yud always is connected to the head. We say in Lag BaOmer, for example, the Song of Bar Yochai, Yud Chachma Keduma, that the letter Yud always means wisdom, means the intellect. And so the Sefer Yetzirah says the month of El is the letter Yud, that's the head, and the left arm, that's the Shel Yad. So you see already that these are the things that are circling in the month of El. The Shevet God, which is connected to being a warrior, which in order to be a warrior that's not afraid, you have to connect the Tzilon Shal Tzilon Shal Roish. And that's exactly what the month of El is, the letter Yud, which is the head, the left arm, which is the Shel Yad. Okay, so what does this all mean? Okay, so let's go back for a second. I mentioned that what the word God means, right? It means Mazel Tov, it means expanding territory, it means having a bris milah. What's the aside? What's the point? The idea is like this. The idea is that God means taking an idea and bringing it to practicality. It means something moving from potential into actuality. Something moving from theory into reality. That's why, for example, the word God is two letters, right? Gimel, Dalet. The Gemara says in Shabbos, these two letters, Gimel, Dalet, mean Goimel, Dalem. Goimel, Dalem means the wealthy person giving tzedakah to the poor person. The Gimel is like the wealthy one, Dalet means empty, Goimel, Dalem. That idea is the same idea as taking something from reality, from potential into reality. This poor person needs food. He doesn't have the resources for it. So you give him tzedakah, it means that you're giving him the ability to take something that he wants, that he desires, that he knows he needs, but he doesn't have the means to bring it out, and you're giving him the ability to bring it out. That the word, therefore, God means this idea of having an idea in your head, tzilon shel roish, and not allowing there to be a hefsek between that idea of the tzilon shel roish and it actually coming into reality with tzilon shel yad. It means moving forward. It means expanding territories. It means not allowing something to be constricted and said, okay, ad kan, there's a wall over here. It's a nice idea. I hear what you're saying. It's a beautiful idea what you're saying, but it's not real. God says, no such thing as a barrier. God says, keep on moving. Keep on expanding. Don't believe in any barriers. And this is why God also has to do with the bris milah. Because the bris milah means the ability of male and female to connect to each other. Male and female in primius always means potential reality. Masculinity, men and female are people, but in concept, masculinity means potential. It's limitless. It could be anything. It could be anything. It's like the classic example that I usually give. It's like, usually the way it is that the husband works and the wife takes care of the home. So the husband brings home a paycheck. What's the paycheck? Be anything. Be anything. You want it to turn, you turn it into a boat, you could turn it into a car, you want to turn it into a couch. It could be anything. But until it's something, it's really nothing. And the wife comes and takes the check and turns it into something. And so that relationship between male and female means a concept, which while it's still in concept form is very nice, it's big, it's, but it's not real yet. It's like the letter Yud. What's the letter Yud? Any time you put the pen to paper, it means it's a Yud. It could be anything. You could then take it and turn it into an Aleph, or turn it into a Beis, or a Gimel. It's potentially anything. It's just that little initial point. That's the letter Yud. That's the idea. That's the idea you have. And God says that there's going to be then obstacles along the way. You have this idea, you want to become a better person, you want to start davening better, learning better, going to minyan, being nicer to your friends, nicer to your family. All these big, nice ideas of tshuva. What does El mean? El means Shevet God. Shevet God means, don't just say to yourself, oh, it's a nice idea, but I'm honest. Okay, yeah, change is impossible. Okay, the answer is no. You take that idea, and you allow it to materialize somewhat. Will the entire Yud be able to express itself in full? Not necessarily. But just because you can't do the entire thing doesn't mean that you're not going to allow yourself to do a little piece of it. Notice that's the idea of Shevet God. Shevet God says that even if you have this grand idea and this grand plan in your mind, you're going to become mamash, you're going to redefine yourself. And then the next step in the mind is, well, that's not practical. And usually, okay, that's it. God says, don't stop there. You take the Tefillin Shel Yad and you merge it and you bring it to the Tefillin Shel Reish. The Tefillin Shel Reish, and you bring it to the Tefillin Shel Yad. Does that mean that you're then going to be able to use your hand to bring out everything that you planned on having in your head? Not necessarily, but something. But that's the idea of Shevet God. That's the idea of bringing together masculine and feminine. It means taking something that's in theory and actually making something real of it. Let's understand, this is vitally necessary in terms of preparing ourselves for Rosh Hashanah. Because what do we want Hashem to do on Rosh Hashanah? We want Hashem to take this theoretical idea that's called Reuven and actually make Reuven, right? That's what we want. We want to be recreated. We want to be created in Rosh Hashanah, to have a new year. Well, where is this new year coming from? It's an idea Hashem has. Hashem has an idea of Tavshin Pei Beis. It's an idea. And what do we want in Rosh Hashanah? That this idea, this concept, this theory called Tavshin Pei Beis, Hashem should actually say, you know what, let's do it. Well, in order for him to have such a process of taking an idea, a concept, which is a good new year, and actually bringing it down l'maisa, moving something from the Tefillin Shel Reish to the Tefillin Shel Yad by Hashem's universe, resulting in you actually physically, practically having a good year, Tavshin Pei Beis, well, we preempt that by doing that process within ourselves. During Elul, what we're doing is we're literally trying to create ourselves. If you could create yourself in the month of Elul, then Hashem will create you in Tishrei, having a new year. What does it mean to create yourself? It means the creative process. It means masculine and feminine. It means you take an idea and you actually bring it down l'maisa. You actually follow through with at least some of the ideas and the desires and the thoughts and the motivations that you have in your head. And not to allow the fact that I can't bring everything out to stop you from doing anything. This is why, by the way, there's one of the most famous Jews in world history was in fact from Shevet Gad, according to a number of opinions in Chazal, it was Eliyahu Navi, Hagiladi, right? Eliyahu Navi is from Shevet Gad. If there's anyone in Jewish history that refuses to allow any barrier to stop them, it's Eliyahu Navi. Death itself can't stop him. Death itself can't stop him. If there's any barrier, the greatest barrier of all is death, right? No one was able to overcome that. But there's one person that kind of does, and that's Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi says, yeah, it's true there's a decree of death from Adam and Chava, and that means, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it's, you know, I could go weiter. Tefillin Shel Yad, I could go to Tefillin Shel Reish. Tefillin Shel Reish, Tefillin Shel Yad. There's no mechitz between them. This is, and understand, if this was the most necessary nekuda to define a Jewish soldier, it means that ultimately this is really the greatest battle. See, Rabbi Nachman said this, Rabbi Nachman writes in the Kutim Aran, that we think the Yetzirah has like all these strategies and all this, you know, all the weapons in his arsenal, all these insiyahnis and taivas and all these things. Rabbi Nachman boiled it, he said, you know, the truth of the matter is that the only thing that the Yetzirah has is fear. That's the only thing it does. The Yetzirah really is just a matter of fear. We're just afraid. What are we afraid of? What happens if I fail? What happens if I become better? I have to live up to that now for the rest of my life. It's all in our heads. It's all in our heads. That's ultimately the real milchama between us and the Yetzirah is whether or not we're willing to allow ourselves to move from the Yud into the Shel Yad. That's really the only issue. Because ultimately, that's what the Yetzirah is trying to do. The Yetzirah is not going to stop us from wanting to become better people. Can't do it. And once a person really wants to become a better person, you can become a better person. So what does the Yetzirah do? The Yetzirah convinces you, puts up these false barriers of like, oh, you can't. Because what happens if, blah, 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 this guy, yourself, what's going to be? All these illusionary mechitzas, you know? And this is ultimately the avodah of the month of El. You know, that's why, you know, one of the, you know, it's well known that the month of El has a lot of like simanim, right? Anilo Dodov Dodili. One of the more strange Rosh Hatevis of Elul is Ish L'Reyehu U'matanas L'Avyonim. Ish L'Reyehu Aleph Lamed U'matanas L'Avyonim Vav Lamed. It's Purim, right? Purim has a way of getting into everything, right? So Ish L'Reyehu U'matanas L'Avyonim, like what is that Purim? When you give Shalach Manas and Matanas L'Avyonim on Purim, why are you doing that? So we think, because in order to make sure that everyone has what to eat, so that's what he gives Shachman, that's not really the purpose. Because if it was just a matter of facilitating that everyone has what to eat, there could be other ways. Chazal could make that you should the community should get together, make one collective meal. There's other ways to do it. In Pnimius, the purpose of Shalachmonas Matanas of Yainim is an expression of your power. That you are Goymol Dalim, you understand? You're a melech, you're a king. And I'm going to be the one that's mashpia to everyone else. It's about developing within the person a sense of kavod. A sense of power, a sense of kavod. And ultimately that sense of kavod is expressing itself where I am now giving gifts, like as if I'm in the apex of society. So I'm going to give my friends, I'll give poor people. When you put yourself in a position of hashpah, that means all of a sudden, ani hagever, you're the strong person. And that's one of the greatest lessons, the greatest avodas of the month of El. One of the greatest avodas of the month of El is to realize that you're stronger than you think you are. And all these barriers that are presented in front of us, of like, no, you can't change, you can't do that, it's impossible. All these impossibilities. Ish l'rei matanas av yayin. What do you mean impossible? You're the melech. You're Achashverosh himself. You're the king of all kings. I mean, you can't. I mean, think about this. You know, when Yosef HaTzadik, right, when he was facing Eishes Potiphar, and Eishes Potiphar was tempting him to lose himself, so what was his first response? He says, "Eineni gadol b'ayis hazeh," says that there's no one greater in this place than me. And yeah, you're going to tell me, you're going to try to convince me to do something low like that. You see, that was his initial reaction. It's like, Ish l'rei matanas av yayin, that's El. So, Dekar Avodah of El is to take an idea and to actually carry it through. That's the biggest avodah zarah. That's Shavuot God. You know, I'll end off with a quick story. You know, it's a famous story. I think Shlomo Karbach used to say it over, so I'm going to butcher it. But he said the mitzvah is like this. There was one of the Talmidei Baal Shem. The Baal Shem Tov sent him on a mission to go raise money for a wedding, you know, to raise money for a chasana, for a yasim, yisayim, whatever. So the Talmud Baal Shem, okay, goes. He's excited, whatever. He's going to go. He goes to the shtetl. Starts knocking on doors. 1 hour goes, 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, he's getting a few dollars here and there. It's not happening. He spends another day. He's there for mamash a whole week. He's not being masliach at all. He's very, very dejected. He has no choice. What am I going to do? So he starts schlepping back. As he's turning back to go home with his head lowered, you know, he sees out of the corner of his eye this strange scene. There's two big Russian police officers, and they're schlepping in the middle this little tiny yid who's like being escorted with handcuffs, you know, but he's dancing, right? So this is when Shlomo started, you know, the guitar. So he wants to go, what's going on over here? So he goes see this yid, and he says, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yid, you know, who are you? So he says, you don't know who I am. I'm sorry, I'm not from around here. Who are you? I'm famous Yankel of the Ganef. I'm the best Ganef in all of Krakow, whatever, you know. So he says, I'm sorry, I'm not from here, I didn't know. But the truth is, you say such a you're a good ganef, I mean, you were caught. So he says, mess. Okay. Even the best ganef gets caught sometimes, it's not a big deal. So he says, okay, uncle, but you know, I hope you learn your lesson. You're not going to be a ganef anymore. So he says, Rabbi, you look like a rabbi, but you don't know the first thing about being a yid. He says, what is that? He said, what it means to be a yid is that you finish what you start. You finish what you start. That's what he said. Okay, kacha. So you got the message, continued on, put a little more effort. It was matzliach, is able to raise the money. Goes back to the Baal Shem, opens the door, without saying a word, Baal Shem says, "Nu, what does Eli Navi look like when he's being escorted by two big Russian officers?" So he said, that sums up what we're talking about. It's Eli Navi, you finish what you start, it's the month of El, don't be worried about any minias and so on, just go weiter. You know, if you think about it, what makes this tekufa from El until Yom Kippur? It's called an Ace Rotzen, right? It's a time where it's Rachamim, and so much like Hashem is, Mamish, his hands are open to receive us. What happened during this time to make the month, to make this time so special? So you know what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim on Shavuos for 40 days to receive the Torah, right? He went to Torah for 40 days. He comes back down, Shavuos B'Tammuz, sees the eagle, breaks the luchas. Spends the next 40 days from Shavuos B'Tammuz until Rosh Chodesh Elul, davening to Hashem that Hashem should forgive us. Fine. Hashem says, I forgive you. And then Rosh Chodesh Elul, until Yom Kippur, he goes back up to relearn the Torah. Because he went back up to relearn the Torah, that's why Elul is amazing, amazing, and he'll do it other way. Let me say something. So what happened already? He was doing what he did the first time. The first time he went up to learn the Torah, now he's just doing it again. But that's exactly the strength of El. Because you could have, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, well, I messed up the first time, it didn't work out, so I'm going to put in so much effort to do it again. What happens if it doesn't work out again? And Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, you know what? You know what happens if it doesn't work out again? I'll do it a third time. And if it doesn't work out a third time, I'll do it a fourth time. The whole mile of El is that Moshe Rabbeinu had the strength and the courage to start again. And to relearn the Torah for the second time. What's so bad? And he didn't allow the fear of failure, which certainly was very strong because we failed the first time. He didn't allow that fear of failure to separate between the Tefillin Shoresh and the Tefillin Shoyah. He didn't allow that to happen. He took an idea, which was, I want to learn Torah for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to actually do it. That's the Avodah Zarah, that's God. That's God. Baruch Marchiv God. Blessed be Hashem who allows God to expand His territories. A Yid means to start what you finish. And to finish... No. To finish what you start. That's what it means. To finish what you start. That's what it is. Hashem should help us. In the month of El, you have big ideas. Take the big ideas. Good. Have a big idea. But make sure that Lamaisa, you carry through with at least a piece of it. And when you have a little piece of that big idea, that's cool. That's called connecting the head with the arm. That's called the month of God. That's called Eliyahu Navi. That's called finishing what you start. That's called being a Yid. Hashem should help us that this month of El is an Yid Adoy V'Zadili. It should be time of Rotzen V'Rachmem. Hashem should take us back and bring us back, and she'll be zeichet to a happy, healthy, good year. So,